Speaking to reporters at a United Nations base in Juba today, Nicholas Haysom, the special representative of the UN Secretary General in South Sudan, said the party leaders implementing the deal are not living up to their words and have yet to show they have the political will to effectively implement the agreement in order to change the socio-economic and political situation across the country.
The pace of implementation remains too slow, a fact that was acknowledged even by the President at the Governor's Conference. If this continues, there is a risk that the viability of the broader agreement will come under threat, which is a concern raised by analysts and commentators recently. Put simply, there cannot be a business-as-usual approach. The parties must inject fresh urgency into the process and demonstrate a sustained collective political will to finalise critical areas of the agreement.
One of those critical areas, says Haysom, is Chapter 2, which covers security arrangements and the timeline for graduating the country's unified forces. In July, President Salva Kiir vowed that the first batch of 53,000 unified forces would graduate from training camps around the country, but that promise failed to materialize after the parties could not reach a consensus on a unified military command structure. In mid-October, the Joint Defense Board, the body tasked with overseeing the training and graduation of unified forces, said the forces would graduate in the first week of November, but the National Transitional Committee has yet to put in place the logistics needed to facilitate the screening process. Haysom says the unity government should also pass laws that promote financial and judicial reforms as well as constitution making so that elections can be held. Last week, President Kiir told a governor's forum in Juba that one of the many challenges delaying the graduation of the unified forces is the impact of the UN arms embargo on South Sudan. The president says the government does not have weapons for the forces who are ready to graduate because the ongoing arms embargo restricts Juba from buying arms. Haysom says the graduation of forces does not require arms.
You know, I mean, it's possible for the graduation to take many forms, and I wouldn't want to prescribe to those like the Joint Defence Board how it should take place. But there's no necessary condition that the graduands have rifles in their hands when they graduate. Obviously, one would want at the end of the day to see that the security apparatus is properly armed. But for the purposes of graduation, which is a procedural measure so that we can go ahead and integrate the forces, that I think can go ahead.
After his recent trip to Bentiu and other parts of South Sudan where he interacted with many locals, Haysom says it's clear that many South Sudanese are not satisfied with the efforts made by the parties toward implementing the peace deal.
We would recognize that there seems to be expressions of frustration at people who are promised continuously that there will be progress in the implementation of Chapter 2. But we don't see that progress.
Haysom says there seems to be a shift of interest by the international community on the situation in South Sudan due to the political unrest in Sudan and Ethiopia. Ahead of his scheduled briefing to the UN Security Council next week on the situation in South Sudan, Haysom says the international community should reiterate its unwavering support for the South Sudanese people.
That while we appreciate the eyes of the world are on Ethiopia and Sudan, it would be wrong to neglect and walk away from the situation in South Sudan, not to recognize that it's an integral part of this region and needs the same level of interest and support that the other countries in the region are getting.
The September 2018 revitalized peace agreement was aimed at restoring peace and stability across South Sudan. 3 years later, only one of the deal's 8 chapters has been partially implemented. Haysom says, aside from problems with carrying out the peace deal, there are growing threats caused by devastating floods this year. He noted that 800,000 people have been severely affected by the worst floods in 60 years in South Sudan, particularly in Jonglei, Unity, and Upper Nile states.
I can only describe the situation as dire. Floodwaters are not receding as expected with the change in season, and hundreds of thousands of people remain displaced and in desperate need of aid.
Haysom says the consequences of this year's floods can be disastrous in terms of food insecurity, lack of health care, education, and the risk of waterborne diseases. Aid partners say that they cannot bridge the gap in funding and resources to reach all those affected by the floods who need assistance. Repeated efforts to reach representatives of various parties in the unity government for reaction to Haysom's remarks were unsuccessful. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.